Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier, and I am really happy to be here with you in this moment to share with you some of the December solstice blessings and information to support you in working with the energy that is available at this time. I like to share with you the solstice and equinox energy readings because when we begin a new season, it is the energetic matrix that is available to us throughout that season, like a birthday. So it's the birthday of the next 3 months. And so I would like you to think about what I'm sharing with you, to think about that it is really, how can I work with this energy to support my evolution and to support my experiencing, seeing the bigger picture of what time it is. And then also seeing how you can work with these energies to support your own evolution at this time. And also to generate more compassion for what we signed up for in our lives, as people who are here during a time of great transition. So, the solstice officially begins on December 21st at 10:27 p.m. Eastern Time Zone when the sun will move into 0 degrees Capricorn. And I'm going to share with you some of the interesting energies that are present within this chart. And I'm going to give you the big overview that I always give you about the larger cycle we're in, which is a 26,000-year cycle. And I'm also going to speak with you about Pluto moving into Aquarius on January 21st, on the same day that the sun moves into Aquarius on January 21st. And that, just be patient with me. We will get there. We have a lot to talk about. So let's zoom out to the largest possible viewpoint, which is that we are witnessing and change agents within something called the Great Year or the Turning of the Ages. And the Turning of the Ages is a time that spans 144 years that began in 1926 and completes in 2070. And this is the time that the December solstice sun, where we are now, or 0 degrees Capricorn, sits exactly at galactic center. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about galactic center in a moment, but the year is 1962 to 2034, just 10 years from now, is the midpoint when it is the most intense amount of change energy. So we are experiencing many, many changes that are accelerating during this time and that are in some ways unimaginable. And that the changes that are taking place are far beyond what we can see or can see manifesting in our world at this time because they're energetic changes. Energetic changes happen first. You may notice in your own life, you may go through strong initiations and energetic changes. You may change your mind and even start to change your stories, but it takes longer for physical reality, which moves at a different pace. The body and Earth moves much more slowly, which is also very interesting because Pluto has been in Capricorn, an Earth sign, and it's moving into Aquarius, which is an air sign. We can really expect when Pluto is in Aquarius for changes to happen at a more accelerated pace because it's an air sign. So nevertheless, I'm sort of saying this to you because people get very impatient with like, wow, I've been going through so much change and transformation, and yet it's taking so long to actually get things in my physical reality to shift. Or, hey, why is the world still purging so much of the darkness and the shadow? Well, we've been holding this in our field for generations after generations after generations after generations. And it's taking a while to see it and to change it and to shift. And we're in that process now. So anyway, back to the story of Galactic Center, the Mayans call Galactic Center Hunab-Ku. And this meant the cycle and movement of energy, the order and balance of the universe, cosmic source energy. Hunab-Ku is a place that many cultures saw as where the galactics, the divine beings, came through, divine energy. Let's not even say divine beings anymore, because we're all divine beings. Everything is an aspect of divinity. But where the energy from source comes into this universe is at Galactic Center. So whenever there's a planet there, it's transmitting those frequencies to us very strongly. And at December solstice, the sun is there and has been there since 1926 and will be there till 2070. And so we are being beamed these rays of light to co-create with. And at the same time, I also want to tell you that Mercury, which is in retrograde at the time of the solstice, went into retrograde December 12th and will be there till December 31st, is also going back and forth over Galactic Center through its retrograde. So Mercury is the planet of cognition, perception, communication, the translator. So there's something big that our mental bodies are reviewing and unwinding and opening up to, that allows more possibility to come in. But as you know, during a Mercury retrograde, we often experience, you know, that communication becomes more challenging. But only because if an astrologer were writing the operating manual for how life was lived on planet Earth, we would say, well, during a retrograde, it's a really good time to go inside, to take a look at what needs to be reworked or relooked at, all the rewords, repair, revision, remodel. And at this time, it's also getting huge activations. We're getting huge activations from source energy, which can feel very not verbal. And it sort of can really, I want to use the word overwhelm, but it's not the correct word. Just sort of like your mental circuits are taking in a lot right now that cannot necessarily be translated into something logical. How about that? We're also experiencing solar flares, huge solar flares. Just last week, we had an X class, which is the strongest they can be, and an M class. And solar flares are these massive ejections of rays of light coming off our sun, which is very interesting that that's happening at solstice, and that the sun is radiating these divine energy frequencies coming from the source of our source point of all. So we're experiencing heightened solar flares now, and we're going to experience them all through 2024. That's going to be a theme in 2024. And solar flares affects our energy bodies, and it also affects things like our satellites and communications. They're really strong solar winds that our energy bodies very much feel. And I was going to talk about that later, but I guess I'll talk about it now. They're peaking now and through 2024. So we need more grounding, basically, when that happens. And it's interesting because it's coinciding with Pluto on January 21st moving into Aquarius, which is also associated with heightened electromagnetic energy. So light and information from the sun is coming in to upgrade your system, but it's also disruptive, and it can disrupt satellite communications, but it can also create a feeling of being overly sensitive, easily triggered, feeling like you've had too much coffee, or that you may feel a lot of fatigue or mental fogginess. You may have insomnia. You may need to take naps. And so it is very important to, if you notice this, to not sort of just try and push through it, but to just go, oh, my body is really experiencing a lot of energy coming in. What can I do to ground this? Do I, and it can be something so simple in the moment. I really like to just, I live near a lot of trees, so I'll just stare at the trees and ask them to support me in feeling more grounded. Or I'll imagine a root system coming down from the base of my spine and going right into the center of the earth. Take a deep breath. I'm doing it now. And I just kind of pull that earth energy into my body a little bit. But I also imagine the leaves coming out the top of my head and bringing in my leaves are kind of this iridescent light, almost like the light of the sun. And I just sort of imagine the sun sitting above the tree, and I'm bringing in the light through my leaves, down my trunk, and down into the earth. And it only takes a second, but it really helps to kind of soften some of the energy surges that I sometimes feel. So getting back to this chart, and now that we're talking about trees, I want to talk about that we have some beautiful tree energy in the solstice chart. We have the sun in Capricorn. We have the moon in Taurus, Jupiter in Taurus, Uranus in Taurus, Mercury in Capricorn, and Pluto in Capricorn. And that's a lot of Earth right now. So that's a blessing because the Earth can help us and support us in rooting in these very high voltage frequencies that are coming in at this time. And we want to ask, can we ground ourselves like the trees? And can we be connected to the cosmic light codes that are coming in and trust the unseen the way a tree does? So a lot of change is happening inside of all of your lives and in the world. And that's not slowing down. And I often think of the trees like when they have this amazing process. Number one, their root systems are connected to each other. They communicate with each other and they nourish each other. When a tree in a forest is sick, the other trees send more nutrients. And so we ask, can we be like the trees? Also, when the trees lose their leaves, they don't go, oh no, my last creation is no longer there. It's fallen off to the ground. I better do everything I can to hold on to that leaf and whatever it takes. No, the trees go through this natural process of dropping, letting go, releasing, building up the energy for the next creative process. And at the turning of the ages, the cycle that we are in, this big galactic cycle, we are all being asked to let go. To let go of some of these stories that we've carried for centuries or even for thousands and thousands of years. And to embrace something new. But at the same time, the way a tree is bare in the winter, that something new is energetically coming in. And for some of you, it's actually more than energetic. It's, you're full on into creative manifestation. But when you look out into the culture, it kind of just looks like a disaster. And it's very important to realize that this is part of the process of releasing the old, the new energy coming in. Some of what we're seeing is the old not wanting to go and hanging on for dear life and using every corrupt, misaligned, positive way of doing it. But in the end, the leaves fall off the trees because the energy doesn't support them being there. And particularly as we move into the next 20 years with Pluto in Aquarius, change is going to happen. And it's unstoppable, essentially. So we ask ourselves, can we work with this incredible energy of trees at the solstice to help ground us and remind us to stabilize our energy as we open up to these new light codes coming in? So the moon being in Taurus and Jupiter being in Taurus is actually a really lovely energy at the solstice. Taurus is an earth sign, is very stabilizing. Taurus is the incarnation of Venus, the incarnation of the feminine mysteries.
Taurus is receptive, pleasure-oriented. Taurus invites embodiment, feeling things with your body and all of your senses, a grounding. Taurus is about being present and awake moment by moment and appreciating and savoring and enjoying. I would say the words for Taurus are savoring and enjoying the present moment, coming into the garden, fertility, abundance. And Jupiter is there. Jupiter is a planet that expands our sense of faith, trust, and opens up space for us to fall, to go into new storylines, to go into new realities. And the sun is at 0 degrees Capricorn. Mercury is in retrograde in Capricorn. Mercury is going in retrograde, going back and forth over galactic center. The sun is at galactic center. Mercury is at galactic center, and Mars will soon be at galactic center at the end of December. So a huge activation of these wild card light codes that are connected to your source energy, that are connected to your inner divinity, and that are connected to the one source that's being amplified at this time. So Capricorn, healthy Capricorn, is about the circle of wise elders. It's about knowing what works and gets results and how to support and sustain thriving systems now and in the future. It's about connecting to that wise elder within yourself that has the ability to discern what to pay attention to, what to focus your attention on, and what to be aware of but not overly focus on. Meanwhile, we're completing Pluto in Capricorn at 29 degrees. At this time, this is the last degree of Capricorn. And when we move into the last degrees of a sign, especially with Pluto has been in Capricorn since 2008. So we have been in a process of dismantling the shadow of Capricorn. And the shadow of Capricorn is those shadow stories that we tell ourselves. The story of separation, the story of unworthiness, but also the stories that have lived, that have created our culture, the culture of separation. And Pluto shines a light on the archetype, but also shines a light on the shadow of the archetype, and so that we can see it. And right now, what Pluto's doing, it's kind of like a Brillo pad on a pot that there's all this gunked up stuff on the bottom that's just been, you know, burned on, and Pluto's just scrubbing and scrubbing the caked up gunk. And it lifts up and pulls out hardened, undigested, unseen, unconscious material within ourselves that needs to be seen, that needs to be felt, that needs to be witnessed, that needs to be processed, that needs to be released. It is a time for our planet of purging density and seeing what are the foundational energies that we have built our world in that are not sustainable, that are not thriving, so that as they get pulled up, they can be worked through. And as I said, the body moves much more slowly than spirit or than the mind. And so we may wish this process would happen more quickly, but it is a slow process. However, I do believe in the next 20 years, there will be an acceleration of change and innovation that just changes the game. Just like, you know, like those new leaves are coming on the trees and the old leaves, I'm sorry, much like a typewriter. You know, if you were a company that manufactured a typewriter, and you really wanted to sell a lot of typewriters, you couldn't do too much about the fact that now we have, you know, iPads and iPhones and iWatches, and that people generally, you know, that things have, that there's just no comparison between a typewriter and what we have now available. And so no matter how much manipulation a typewriter company would use, people aren't going to really be buying typewriters en masse. And we're going to be seeing much more of this in the next 20 years of just a lot of change. With Pluto moving into Aquarius, I'll talk about that more. So we've got this beautiful Earth energy that is stabilizing, that is helping to us to balance and root down some of these cosmic energies. We also have this very strong energy of Pluto kind of like scouring out like a Brillo pad. And I know that you probably know what I'm talking about because Pluto isn't subtle. Pluto shows us what we need to feel, what we need to see, what we need to move out of our system so more light can come in and be held there. And because it's in an earth sign, it is how we physicalize it. And it is about, and it's very interesting that today the volcano in Iceland is erupting, that it really is a symbolic of like energy's moving and things are changing, things are erupting, things are coming from the depths and they're boiling out. And in fact, Venus is in Scorpio. And Venus, the feminine energies and our relationship energies, we think about Venus as about relationships and how we value ourselves, our self-worth, love, sensuality, money. Venus is in Scorpio, which is about going really deep, being really truthful and transforming. And sometimes I tell people the goddess associated with Scorpio is Pele, the volcano goddess. And here we are. volcano is erupting. And what we have right now is Uranus opposite Venus. And one thing I want to just say is that if all of the astrological language is getting in your way, let it wash over you and just really connect to what I'm saying about where the energy is right now, which is there's a lot of earth to help stabilize and ground. There's also a lot of incoming energy that can really affect your electromagnetic field. And in fact, taking more magnesium and potassium, eating foods with more potassium in them, like bananas or oranges or I think avocados, or just taking trace minerals, eating things like kelp, seaweeds, taking trace mineral drops, they're going to really help you because when there's a lot of energy, minerals get depleted in your body and it can create even more of a sense of feeling agitated or jittery. And those minerals are actually very grounding for us. So is taking walks in the middle of the day and taking breaks from any, especially if you're doing a lot of mental work, taking a lot of breaks. So back to our story, we've got Venus in Scorpio, this very deep, intense, passionate, wild feminine energy that wants truth, that wants passion, that wants aliveness. And she's opposite the planet Uranus. And Uranus is all about wanting more freedom, independence, and new ways of expressing love, new ways of liberating ourselves out of old conditioning that we have, especially around how we value ourselves. That is a real theme that is sort of up for shifting at this time, because our culture has pretty much taught ourselves that people are valued based on, you fill in the blanks. And we live inside of a story, a cultural story. And right now, that shadow story is up. And we're looking at the shadow story that's a barrier to our wholeness. And our bodies react to the stories we tell ourselves. And that's this earth that we can be really aware of how these stories get embedded in our cellular memories, our stories from childhood, our stories that we hold from our ancestors, and even the stories from our past lives, including the stories that people tell about us. And people can get locked into stories and react accordingly. And all of these stories have a cost and a payoff. And the energy that's available right now is for a lot of these stories to just get played out to such an extreme degree that we can identify and feel and use this energy of disruption. Uranus is an energy that can help disrupt the old conditioning, but so is the sun of the light of the solstice sun coming from galactic center. Mercury is at galactic center. These are ways of rewriting the story and having the energy to do it. And then Mars coming in and crossing galactic center December 31st. And we have all these solar flares. And you could just see, like, I just want you to imagine, like a pathway in the ground that's made out of maybe concrete. And all of this energy is coming in, and it's kind of breaking up the stones that are holding in place these old stories. And in the place of those stones is coming in like this bluish, violety, sparkly light that's placing in the energy of something new, so a new stone can be laid for a new reality. It is very liberating. Uranus is associated with this light coming in that disrupts our thoughts, our ideas, our beliefs, our habits around how we relate to and the energy patterns in our body that hold us in place. So a lot of us experienced, you know, trauma. We're experiencing trauma right now, just being alive and observing what's happening, some more than others, depending on where you live. But certainly in past lives and in our childhood, we experienced trauma, and when we experience trauma, a part of our life force moves into the shadow and takes with it the qualities that we need, and we create a story to compensate. So an example would be maybe we lost a part of our enthusiasm or a part of our worthiness, the part of us that felt loved or trusting the unknown or that felt comforted. And so the story that might come in is, well, I must be unworthy of love, or I must have done something wrong. You know, if my parent hurt me or neglected me, I must have done something wrong, and now I need to keep fixing myself. So this something is wrong with me story that is very much all over in our culture, this myth of unworthiness, this myth of not being enough, this myth that we are separate from the divine, separate from our source of magic and power and from one another, is what is being dismantled now. And it keeps us from realizing the sweetness of belonging. So it's something to just look at within yourself. And also the idea that we constantly need to work on ourselves because there is something wrong with us, we're constantly needing to fix ourselves, isn't really going to work. Because then we're just focused on what's wrong with us over and over again. Now, of course, there's healing we all need, and there are ways for us to realign. There are ways for us to repair and realign with our own source energy. We all have an aspect of ourselves, our higher self, that lives inside of us, inside of our heart space, that is connected to one source, that is one source, that is love, compassion, kindness, intuition, guidance, that we are never separate from, and that does not need to be fixed. It's really more about bringing that love into those areas of pain and wounding to extend compassion and kindness, and to know that the story that you have incarnated into is the assignment that your higher self had, and your higher self is experiencing you and always loving you and always available for love. And healing comes from extending love and kindness, not from constantly fixing what's wrong. Although, yes, there are also ways that we can alter our perception so that we perceive more clearly the beauty that is available in each moment. Oh, this Mercury retrograde is getting to me a little bit. Sorry. So yes, we are here to refine ourselves, to make choices, and to release and acknowledge our inner, to release what isn't really true, and to acknowledge our inner light. and what is already whole within ourselves, what is already unconditionally loving. Let's see. We are definitely being inspired to move into a different reality within our lives right now, to value ourselves differently, to commit to the sacred within ourselves, and to honor our unique gifts, to know that you are a contribution. You are here at the turning of the ages on purpose, with purpose. The light you shine, the love you share, the healing journey you are on affects the whole. You could say that we've each taken on a piece of what has been fractured or fragmented. And as we come to know our own wholeness and bring our light and our care and our healing to ourselves, we are bringing healing to the world. We are the transition team. If spirit could shift this world all by itself, we would already have this process completed, but it takes human beings. It takes boots on the ground, people, generation after generation, to step in to de-densify and to de-identify with these old stories that of separation and unworthiness that are simply not true. And to release them to make new choices and to create new foundations. Capricorn is about building the new foundations that support a thriving world and have the courage to let go of what's in your foundation that is simply not supporting you, and collectively to have that courage to let go. In the next year, we'll see much more of that. So what are the energies available to us? I'm going to say it again. The moon in beautiful Taurus, Jupiter in Taurus, is beautiful earth energy that's regenerative and nourishing and sensual and slowed down. We've got the sun in Capricorn, Mercury in Capricorn, and they are in a nice relationship to one another. So the earth energy is just really supportive. We've got the galactic source point energy available to us. We have the Hawaiian fertility goddess Haumea is also opposite the moon, which, you know, we have at this time all of these dwarf planets, which are recently discovered and named after indigenous gods and goddesses. All of these planets in some ways bring the energy of transmutation, metamorphosis, regeneration. And the Hawaiian, so here we have the Hawaiian goddess who has babies coming all out of her body, and she creates food and out of barrenness. You know, she's got that power of like, oh, it's just a field of lava that's dried up. Poof, here's some corn. Poof, here's some mango trees. Incredible regenerative energy. And it's important for us to realize that that's the energy field we're playing in. We're playing in an energy field of incredible ability to regenerate. But we're also, Pluto is also opposite, squaring the moon, squaring the moon right now, which is also that Brillo that's pulling up the fear, the old beliefs, the old storylines that really aren't supportive of thriving at all. Old trauma coming up collectively in the world stage and individually. And so you are being asked in some ways to do quite a lot at once, to open up to this incoming light codes that are very strong and very beautiful, but also disruptive energetically, and to ground them and to find space and time to ground them. You're being asked to connect to your higher self and to recognize more and more the reality of the truth of that light within your body that is completely loving and master healer, master teacher for you within you. And you're also being asked to go into the deep depths and clear. And you're also being asked to make specific small changes or sometimes big changes in your life to reflect all of the transformation. And it's a lot to do, but you came here at this time ready, willing, and able to do this, but that doesn't always mean it's comfortable. Sometimes it's amazing and ecstatic, but sometimes it's not comfortable. But you have a lot of support. All of these energies that are coming in at the solstice and equinoxes, they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger every year, that are supportive, that are reflective of our spirit guides and our spirit teams in the spirit world, that are standing around us, that are whispering to us, that are loving us, that are guiding us, that are helping us, that are partnering with us in making these changes. So, and that brings me to Mars is in Sagittarius, which is the spiritual teacher, that seeks new visions, that explores new possibilities in truth, meaning, consciousness, awakening. And Mars is squared by Neptune, which is all about connecting to the invisible realms, connecting to the dreams and the visions that are yet to be born, connecting to inner guidance. And we also have Mars conjunct Varda at this time. Varda is another I just got a phone call. I hope it's still recording. Varda is another indigenous goddess who is a creator goddess, and she's also a galactic center. So this symbolism of these creative forces bringing in something unimaginably new from the far out reaches of our galaxies, energy coming in that we keep bringing in and we keep bringing in. But at this particular solstice, it's the sun, it's Mercury, it's Varda, it's Mars later. We've got Uranus opposite Venus, which is also about bringing in new energy, bringing in new light codes, disrupting the old patterns and bringing in new patterns. It's associated with Kundalini, an awakening, and supporting us around changing how we value ourselves and how we value others. And not necessarily valuing ourselves based on what we do or how much money we have, but just that we're here making a contribution in our lives. And that doesn't mean that you don't get to also have all kinds of other jobs that you do, but the overarching purpose of so many light workers being here at this time, so much healing happening, so much spiritual awakening happening, so many people coming together more than ever before, praying for peace. Yes, we have horrific wars and horrific things happening at this time, but we also happen to have more people saying, this is not okay. More people being shocked by something that's actually been going on for a very long time, and saying no. So, and also not just saying no, but many, many people, millions and millions of people, waves of people praying for peace, connecting to light, seeing light, being the ones who ground the light to bring it into the earth to help shape shift our reality. And that is an invisible function that is very important. So the earth and all of these earth signs are assisting you in grounding this incoming evolutionary energies, but we must choose to take time to experience our own source point within ourselves, within our hearts, within each other. And now we've got Pluto getting ready to shift signs. Pluto at this time of solstice is at 29 degrees Capricorn, and January 21st, Pluto will move into Aquarius. Pluto will stay in Aquarius until September, and in September and November, it'll dip back into Capricorn. And then on November 19th, 2024, Pluto will stay in Aquarius until 2044, the next 20 years. So I'd really like to talk to you about that and to say once again that Pluto exposes our values, our beliefs within systems, particularly Pluto in Capricorn was exposing corruption, power over the power of the few. And we have seen a rise in autocratic governments.
It's really pulled up a lot of fear. And at the same time, Pluto in Capricorn has been asking us and supporting us and inviting us and aligning with us to lay down roots of the new earth, of a new time, of all this energy that you have for a very long time been grounding and seeding and manifesting within your life. And we're pulling up the old roots. We're laying down new roots. We're looking at what is not for us anymore, what has served us. What has served you up until this point, but now it's not serving you anymore. And it's also, connects us with that inner priestess, this inner wise one that discerns how to utilize these new energies and to whisper to you what needs to be released so that these new blossoms can occur, these new leaves can come. What needs to open up in your life? It's time of trust because you may or may not know. So let's see. The shadow side is very visible and expressed, and, you know, the corruption, the power over, ancient fears and hatreds, what remains hidden and what needs to be seen. And over the next year, 2024, one of the huge themes is that we will be seeing a lot more of what needs, that a lot of light is going to be shined on what's been hidden. It has been. This has been going on for a while. It's just going to be kind of amplified in 2024, and I'll tell you why. And because it's 29 degrees, the last degree, it's a culmination point. It's a completion. It's a very influential signature. And on January 21st, the sun will move into Aquarius at 0 degrees. At the same time that Pluto will move into Aquarius at 0 degrees. So the sun shines light on the might of Pluto and on the darkness that needs to be seen. It is a time to look at what has been transformed within you already in these time, in the past, you know, since 2008, a lot of changing has happened. You may be at a completion point in your life and ready for some new assignments. And it is a good time to be asking what inspires you. You know, to be asking, what do I need to see, to experience, to feel, to sense and understand so that I can move into new territory? Pluto in Capricorn has revealed a lot about unfairness in our systems, about the concentration of power in the few, but Pluto in Aquarius opens up new pathways. And one archetype is usually an antidote to the other. So if Pluto in Capricorn, we saw the wealth being concentrated in the few and power being, you know, those old leaves, right? Being like, I'm going to do anything I can to stay on this tree. With Pluto in Aquarius, new pathways open up. It's like those leaves, they can't stay on that tree anymore. They just can't. New pathways open up to the unexpected. So when Pluto and Capricorn, the energy is supporting quantum leaps in consciousness, seismic shifts. It's an air sign. So a lot of the deep uprooting that's happened with Pluto and Aquarius and the deep laying down of new root systems and new pathways that maybe you've experienced in your life. There's going to be rapid changes. Seismic shifts and breakthroughs over the next 20 years, okay? Over the next 20 years. But in particular, this next 3 months, with Pluto shifting signs, whenever Pluto shifts signs, because it's been in a sign for so long, since 2008, when it shifts, it's a big energy shift. So we feel it. It is liberating. It is about innovation. It is about new thinking about the big picture. If in Pluto and Capricorn, we saw a lot of centralizing power, Pluto in Aquarius, we're going to see the decentralizing. Pluto in Aquarius, think of the earth. It scatters. It decentralizes. It's quick moving. It is everywhere. Air is everywhere. It is not physical. It cannot be controlled. Aquarius is associated with humanitarian ideals
and progressive and social movements breaking free, liberating, innovating, inventiveness, shifting us into higher frequencies. Yes, she said it again. Why does she always say this? Because that is the time you're living in. I have to report. This is the time we are continually shifting into higher frequencies, and we are continually needing to ground that. And the solstice energy is really helping with that because of all those beautiful earth signs. Pluto in Aquarius is about freeing us from tyranny, your inner tyranny, as well as tyranny externally. It is about manifesting the soul's blueprint and frequencies more physically on Earth. Pluto in Aquarius, and you're going to hear me say this over the next 20 years, is about new discoveries that change the game. The word galactic, our galactic star brothers and sisters, our galactic ancestors, our history, who we really are, all of this over the next 20 years is going to really, our understanding of this is going to expand and change. Aquarius is connected to higher truth, higher love, higher consciousness, collaboration with others. Aquarius is very visionary, new thinking, new ideas. We will be seeing all kinds of changes in sustainable energy, regenerative medicine, sustainable and regenerative agriculture, healing with light and sound and frequency. However, Pluto in Aquarius is also going to shine the light on the shadow of Aquarius. And the shadow of Aquarius is a lot of change really fast, and that it's hard to ground it. Sometimes the Aquarius energies can be very disconnected from the body, disconnected from the emotions, even robotic. And of course, we have artificial intelligence, coming on the scene in all of its glory and all of its, the good part of artificial intelligence and the part that's not so good, the part that's really scary. Too much change too quickly without thinking about how it will affect the outcome is some of the shadow that we're going to have to be working through. And of course, that people who are healing heal others. People who are hurting hurt others, and people who are evolving help other people evolve and use technology in a way that is supporting evolution. So all of this is going to be determined by how we use all of this. Artificial intelligence can be a total nightmare, but it can also be really helpful and supportive with all of those medical and technological breakthroughs that solve problems that really need to be solved. There's the shadow side and there's the positive side. So just to be aware of that. So I do want to talk to you about Pluto and Aquarius a little bit through time. So in 1500s, I can't read my own handwriting. I think it's around 1532, Pluto was in Aquarius. And some of the things that happened at that time was Copernicus saw that the planets circle around the sun, and we moved into a heliocentric theory of the universe, which was radical. And it completely changed everything instead of everything revolving around the earth. And also the Protestant Reformation happened at that time, which shifted the center of power from the Catholic Church for the first time ever since the Catholic Church was formed. And those were huge things. Then in 1778, Pluto moved into Aquarius again. And at that time, astronomers actually discovered the planet Uranus, which is associated with Aquarius, which is associated with revolutionary energy, expansion of consciousness, frequency, new perceptions. Poof, that planet comes on the scene. When a planet is discovered, it becomes more influential, it becomes more conscious. You know, it comes out of the darkness into the light and has more influence. So we brought in these Uranian energies. Also, the French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Articles of Confederation, and the writing of the U.S. Constitution, and revolutions that took place around the world at that time. Perhaps our Constitution will get updated to reflect the 21st century so that we can be supported more in freedom. So between now we here we are, the next time Pluto's in Aquarius after the 1700s is now, because Pluto has such a slow orbit. So we've got Pluto in Aquarius between 2023 and 2044. So we need to be asking what new discoveries in the cosmos will happen that we don't know about yet. And how is this connected to you and your future? We will be discovering new aspects of ourself, of our galactic history. You will be discovering new gifts. You will be continuing to liberate yourself from old patterns. I would say that, yeah, like I said, the image I have is Aquarius is a strong wind that blows those leaves off, but also grows these new multidimensional crystalline leaves, that energy comes down into that tree that we are, into the core of the earth, and really starts to change how we manifest physical reality. But it's always a process of pulling up the old roots to make space for this new energy. And so it's a process of continuing death, rebirth, and regeneration and change in our lives. But we are leaning into, especially in 2024, a year of a lot of change, a year of a lot of truth, a year of going all the way down and all the way in and all the way out, clearing out fear and seeing how fear has led to disempowerment, and to allowing a rejuvenation, a regeneration, to see new solutions, new ways of being emerging from all of this. Pluto in Aquarius is an unstoppable force. It's like we cannot keep the lid on the box any longer. There will be new discoveries. There will be new innovations. There will be new technologies that simply change the game. And our job is to stabilize this within ourselves, to continually raise our consciousness, and to continually extend love and compassion and understanding to ourselves and each other, so that we can be a force of change, of evolution and compassion. And so we want to also be asking, where are we seeking? Where are you seeking rebirth and renewal, fueled by Pluto completing her Capricorn mysteries? Where can you pay attention to innovation and renewal happening in your life? How can you pay attention to this new playing field of expanded consciousness that's available to you? And also to pay attention to any new understandings you have about yourself, about how you've grown, how you heal, how you've remembered your wholeness, how you've released. What do you need to understand now? What have you been clearing out? What celebrations can you honor and acknowledge about what has been released from your consciousness and from your physical body, that can enable you to receive this influx of higher vibration, a new way of trusting yourself and what you're capable of? So this solstice is an invitation to trust your intuition, to tap into the unseen, to allow your energy to speak, and to ask, what truth is the sun shedding light on? What are the possibilities available now? And to invoke for yourself a liberation from self-imposed tyranny so that you can make room for the new. And December, we're at a time that we could say it's a timekeeper. You know, we're moving into a new year, but we're also moving into, with Pluto moving into Aquarius, a whole new playing field of energy. So I hope that you continue to acknowledge what you've moved through, what inspires you, what do you want to continue in your life, and what can you use this ceremonial time as a time of releasing as well. Mercury's in retrograde, so it is a time to reconsider, rewire, reflect, rethink, and repair how your thinking may be affecting your life in ways that are not supportive, so that you can open up these new pathways of paying attention to new possibilities, paying attention to how well you actually are supported
paying attention to the unseen, paying attention to that light in your heart that is always there and always supportive. And those ancient, ancient ones who are by your side, loving you. So, the other thing I want to say is the other planet that is, available is Sedna. Sedna is trining Pluto at this time. And in the autumn equinox, the Libra equinox, I talked a lot about Sedna. It's another incredible symbol of transmutation and metamorphosis. It's the story of someone who is holding on to a boat, holding on to an old way of being, and having that old way kind of be very violating. Ultimately, she has no choice but to let go, and she is metamorphosized and transformed into mermaid energy, into dolphin energy, into whale energy. But it's because she has no, it's time to let go. And we are all at that place of it's time to let go and trust. Trust the process and trust that it's okay that the way things look is going to continue to be not perfect. We're in process. So let's see. There's more I could say, including, well, I do want to talk to you about Saturn and Pisces. Saturn is in Pisces now, which is also a really strong support for your awakening, for those visions and those dreams to come into form, to connect to flow states. It is the power of stabilizing a more expanded spiritual consciousness that will affect change in physical reality. And it is an invitation to move beyond emotional reactivity. Not that you don't feel emotions or experiencing them, but to have that support in riding the waves of emotions and discerning what gets expressed and when and how, and letting the emotions move through you, the currents move through you without causing more harm to yourself or to others. And Saturn is like stabilizing. Okay, let's get more mastery here. Turning dreams into reality, embodied awakening. Saturn in Pisces is about crystallizing consciousness into form. And it is about expanding our creativity and our empathy and our compassion. So I'm going to leave you with that and say those are the energies available to you. And it's a really amazing time for self-reflection, but it's even a better time to go inside and connect to those inner trees and to connect with those higher vibrations. I'm going to send two guided meditations. One is to your inner garden, and one is to Kuan Yin's healing temple. And I think of Kuan Yin's healing temple as sort of a manifestation of so much of what I've been talking about anchoring and feeling those higher loving energies, and her water temple. The water will really help you feel and sense those frequencies in physical form. And the tree guided journey to an inner garden and to the sacred tree to help you connect to the magical energy of trees and the magical garden within yourself. Take care. That's all for now.